I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Donnie, it's the segment the entire country, perhaps the world and the universe, have been waiting for. It's the numbers game playoff version. Hold on, I'm getting my last number entered here. Okay. I'm ready for this, big boy. I don't know if you are, but I know I am. Give me a number, Donnie.
I'll give you a number, Joe. How about the number 9? The Texans have won 9 straight games, the best in football.
I got one to counter that, Donnie. 0. The Texans' number of road playoff wins in their franchise history. They're 0-6.
How about the number 23, Joe, to keep on that theme and the theme of Monday night? Pittsburgh has won 23 straight home games on Monday night football.
How about another one to counter your number, Donnie? 1. Domed teams in the past decade in the NFL playoffs, when the temperature is 40 degrees or less, are 1-14. 1-14.
Did you guys discover, by the way, because we were talking about that stat the other day.
Yeah.
Did you guys find which game it was?
Because no,
we did find it.
Who was it? Let me guess. A domed team that went on the road and won.
I will give you this clue. It says 40 degrees and under. It was 39 degrees at kickoff.
Okay. A domed team that, was it Indy?
No.
Wasn't Houston. I know that much.
Nope.
What's the year span again?
What year was it? What year was this game?
It was in the COVID year.
Holy ostrich milk. I mean, that could actually make a difference in this. I don't know.
Was it the Colts?
No.
I just said that. Was
I
it
know,
the Saints?
I wasn't paying attention.
It was the Rams. They went to Seattle and beat Russell Wilson's Seahawks. Do you remember who the quarterback was for the Rams in that game? This was before they made the trade. And I'll give you the next clue. It was not Jared Goff.
Oh, my God.
Goff was the backup in this game. He was healthy, and he was the backup.
I don't remember.
Baker Mayfield?
No. Because Mayfield
beat the
Steelers.
Give us a clue, Donnie.
I'm going to look at this guy's bio here and just see how much football he played.
Brock Osweiler.
No. I like that guess. It's kind of under that same arc, but the guy
Vince
never...
Vince Ferragamo.
He played one career playoff game. He played in this game. Yep. He was 3 for 6 for 29 yards. And
Kendall Hinton, the wide receiver that played quarterback for the Broncos that one day.
Give us a college.
He went to Wake Forest, just like our buddy Josh Harris.
I don't know. I give up.
John Wolford.
I wouldn't have gotten that in a trillion years.
John Wolford.
Yeah, I do remember the name, but I would have never got it.
McVay started him.
Wow.
He ended up getting hurt, so Goff had to come in. But McVay started him in that game.
That is amazing,
and they won.
Whose turn for a number, Donnie? I think yours.
Yeah, I'll go here. 15 is my number.
Yeah.
And it also coincides with the number 20, so I guess I hit you with 2 there. The Texans have won 15 consecutive games when they score 20-plus points.
Great number. That's a candidate for the number of the day. 3.6 is my number. When your lead back is averaging 3.6 yards per carry, you are not in a good space with your run game, and that's the great Woody Marks, no relation to Woody Allen, for the Houston Texans.
7 is my number. The Texans became team number 7 in NFL history to make the playoffs after starting 0-3.
358, Dalton Schultz, tight end Texans. That's his yards after the catch. Oh, 358, Donnie. You better get him on the ground.
4, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, the 4th head coach quarterback pairing in league history to make the playoffs in each of their first 3 seasons.
I got a four as well, and it was really next on my list. The Texans have four players with exactly four interceptions, so turnovers from everywhere.
I will give you two to go along with that defense, Joe.
Please.
The only team in the league with multiple defenders that have 12-plus sacks, they got two of them. That is the number. Danielle Hunter has 15. Will Anderson has 12.
Man, I hope Dylan Cook, I hope this is real. What we've been seeing, we're going to have Kenny Gainwell chipping away like he's, I don't know what he's doing, taking paint off a house here. 73. The Steelers have been outscored in the first quarters of their six-game playoff losing streak by a cumulative 73-0. Other than that, Donnie, they've come in well prepared for every one of them.
We'll talk about fourth quarter scoring here. Plus 78 is the number. That is the Texans' point differential in the fourth quarter of games. Best in football this season.
87, the combined point total of the last Steeler home playoff game with fans in the building, 45-42. The Steelers well on their way to a record you don't want to have, the first team in NFL history to give up 40 or more points in three straight playoff games. Of course, it took them playing the Browns after that, and I believe, was it the Chiefs?
Yeah, it was the Chiefs. Ben's final game.
What a record that is to have. Do you have a number for me, Donnie?
I do, Joe. And the number is 12. Quarterbacks had more interceptions, 12 of them, than touchdowns, 10, when targeting wide receivers against the Texans this season.
Wow. That's a telling stat. 79. That's how many yards Aaron Rodgers needs to move ahead of who? Big Ben on the all-time playoff passing yardage list. Ben's in fourth right now, Aaron in fifth. I think he gets it in this game, and they'll get to about, what, almost 6,000 yards, 5,973. The accompanying number is ridiculous, 13,400. That's Brady's all-time record. Nobody's getting that.
How far away is he from third place ahead of Ben?
Far. Okay. Peyton Manning. He needs thousands of yards, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good guess. 31-48, Joe, is the number. That is Houston's time of possession on the season. Only three teams are better: the Bills, the Chargers, the Buccaneers. So two of those three playoff teams, Texans right there, holding the ball for nearly 32 minutes a game.
Could be ominous. Nine, that's the number of touchdown passes Rodgers needs to move from fourth all-time to third past Peyton Manning. If he throws for nine TDs in this one, I'm guessing they win the game, Donnie, yes?
I would say so, Joe. I would say that's a pretty good stat to go the Steelers' way. The Texans, I will use the number 70.3, Joe, because they use three or more wide receivers on the field more than any other offense in the league, 70.3% of the time.
Wow, that should be an interesting matchup. Let's hope Kyle Duggar's not in any of them. Zero. C.J. Stroud is 0-2 in road playoff games with zero touchdown passes. Donnie?
I will go with the Houston defense again here and how much they spend time in their nickel defense. 74 is the number. 74% of the time, they have the lowest percentage in the league spent in the dime defense with the six or more defensive backs. 0.3% of their defensive snaps there, Joe.
I've got the number one, oh, limitless wonder, and it's on many different fronts. One sack for T.J. Watt in his entire playoff career, which is four games. One sack for Cam Hayward in his entire playoff career, which is nine games. One time on the Manning cast for Big Ben Monday night.
Wow.
One time for Ryan Clark hosting First Take in Pittsburgh, which will happen Monday as well.
Do we think Spence gets a seat at the table with the Mannings and Big
One
Ben?
One time that Spence will be on the Manning cast, yes.
He's got to produce the whole thing. I mean, it's an underrated job. Limits and I would know. 18, my number. Nico Collins, receptions of 20-plus yards. He has 18 of them this season. And remember, he missed a few games due to injury.
Holy ostrich milk. Three, that's playoff sacks in four games for Alex Highsmith. So Alex Highsmith has more sacks in his playoff career than Hayward and Watt combined. Is that a winner limits? Do we have a winner?
Do we have a winner? I think we might have a winner
I
right
like
there,
that one Donnie. A lot.
Top
Highsmith's
it, Donnie.
Having a great year.
Top it.
I will go with the same theme on that, Joe. It's the number three, and it has to do with sacks.
Yeah.
The Texans have gone three straight games without allowing a sack.
I'll go with another three. I'll raise your three with another three. League MVPs that the Steelers have faced in their last three playoff games at quarterback. Not necessarily that season, but three league MVPs in Allen, Mahomes, and Lamar. C.J. Stroud, he's good, but he ain't an MVP.
I got one more for you, Joe, and it has to do with special teams.
Please.
And you think back to last season, the Steelers, a team so reliant on field goals, so reliant on 3 points.
Yes.
This season, the Texans have made 48 field goals. That is the most in football. My number is 48. Not only is that first, but it is first by a margin of 7. Seattle has 41, way behind them. So there is no team that counts on the 3 more than Houston.
Could be a great kicking battle between Fairbairn, is it? Is that how you say
Fairbairn?
His name? Fairbairn. And our friend Boz. I'm going to finish with a flourish, Donnie. 17.4 points per game, Houston second allowed in the NFL, 93.7 rushing yards per game, Houston second allowed in the NFL, 45-13, Rodgers playoff TD to interception ratio, 12-10, Rodgers playoff record, 26 catches, 451 yards, 5 touchdowns in 4 playoff games for DK Metcalf, 19 straight non-losing seasons for Mike Tomlin, but ironically, my final number is 8-11, Tomlin's career record in playoff games. Limits, who won?
Joe, I'm going to have you repeat that because the audience could understand because you were talking as if you were in warp speed.
I can understand, Joe.
Yeah, that was intentional limits to see if people could follow.
Okay.
Who had the best number?
You know, you honestly did have the best number, but I feel like we should give it to Donnie because you were patting yourself on the back with your great number.
Oh, my God.
I give it to you, Joe.
But we give it to you, Joe, because you had the best number.
Which number?
I liked the barrage at the end.
I liked it.
It was like the finish to a fireworks show.
I liked the Alex Highsmith number. More sacks for him than T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward combined.
That is a great one. I did not realize that.
I looked that one up right before the numbers game, I might
add.
He's had a
great season, too, outside of, his big problems being on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been great.
I already had one because we know that's common knowledge that Hayward and Watt each have one in their career. Then I thought, how many does Highsmith have? Maybe he has none. But no, he has 3 in 4 games. And thank you for that award, Donnie. And thank you, even though it was reluctantly given limits.
You're welcome.
Coming up, Nick Kostos. Oh, man, is he going to be good? Are we going to bet him again this week, Donnie? What was our last bet? And where do we stand on the Kostos bets?
I don't think I made a bet with him last week. I usually leave that up to Joe.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I got a lot of respect for C.J. Stroud and his body of work and what he's been able to do in this league over a short period of time. But I'm also very respectful of the veteran presence that Davis Mills provides. I think he went 3-0 this year as a starter. He threw 5 touchdowns and 1 interception over the course of that span. And I just think that when you're able to absorb the negativity of playing without your quarterback and maintain your offensive rhythm and take care of the football, I just think that's an asset to a collective. And to be quite honest with you, I think that 3-game stretch that he had was really the catalyst for this 9-game stretch that they're on.
I still think that's one of the weirder things Mike Tomlin has done at one of his press conferences all year. Usually it's nonstop tire pumping. And look, he did some of that with Houston. He credited their defense and he did say complimentary things of D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the team. He spent more time giving Davis Mills credit for the Texans making the playoffs than he did C.J. Stroud.
Why do you think that is?
I'm baffled by that.
Is he deliberately trying to like downplay Stroud?
I don't know.
Is he trying to create bulletin board material down there?
No, that wouldn't make sense. The one time he saw Stroud, he got lit up by him.
Well, right. Is he trying to work him into a shoot?
I I don't understand it.
Let's get a.
But I don't understand a lot of what Tomlin does in the playoffs. That's why he hasn't won a game like this in 8 years.
Adrian. Yes, that Adrian in the YouTube
chat.
What
up, Adrian?
Today.
Long time no speak, brother.
For as smart as
I hope you're over that gout.
For as smart as Chris is in books or literature, he's that effing stupid when it comes to football.
Jeez.
I hope both of these two lose all of their money that they bet on this game. He also had even nastier words for you.
Man. Well, you don't want to wear. You don't want to.
Andrew's been rooting for the Steelers, acting like a fan, and now that it's actually here, he wants to be an effing turncoat. What an effing moron. I really hope both of these two lose all their
money. All right, so let me get this straight. Just, you know, let's respond to this nonsense. Is this Adrian still?
Oh, yeah. He could call in, but he says we'll just cut him off if he does.
You're not a fan if you think going into a game they're going to lose?
Correct. That seems to be the theme today.
How is anybody a Pirates fan then? They haven't won a playoff series since 1979. How does anybody root for them? How does anybody root for Pitt?
They haven't
won a national championship since 1976. I mean, so if you think your team's going to lose, you're not a fan? This is what they've done to me. Win a playoff game more recently than the Browns, Bengals, or Ravens in your own division. Win a playoff game more recently than like 23 other NFL teams, and I would be more bullish. I've said they have a chance. I've said they could win. I said I think this game will be closer than the last six in terms of not just the optics or cosmetics of what the final score looks like. They lost last year's game to Baltimore 28-14. It wasn't even that close. They lost even more disrespectfully than by two touchdowns.
Correct.
This is what they've done in the playoffs. And it's just bizarre. People like Adrian, who's called in incessantly during the year and said, Tomlin's the problem. Fire Tomlin. He's not good enough. Now, you want to talk about turncoat? You've turned coat on that opinion. If you're saying the Steelers are going to absolutely win this game, so suddenly you believe in Mike in these games. I'll keep asking that question. Suddenly now, that's the high ground take to say Mike's going to win one of these games. Okay, that's news to me. Because for years, people have said that's the reason why the Steelers can't go anywhere, because of their head coach.
I think their path to victory in this game is pretty simple. I do think like people believe in Mike, as I said at the start of the show, in games that they think are going to play out like this one will, which is low scoring and kind of a slugfest, which I absolutely think it could turn into. I still think that the Texans have an advantage in a slugfest because I've seen them win a bunch of them this year. I don't think that's a good offensive line, that good of an offensive line in Houston. I do think they can be had. They don't run the ball. I do think there is a chance here for the Steelers to turn them into a one-dimensional outfit. But I would caution people, as much as I think all those things can happen, they can easily do the exact same to the Steelers. And at that point, the best you get is, I hope our guys can make one or two extra plays than their guys. And that's if the Steelers shut their offense down.
Here's Dan in Pittsburgh. Hello, Dan. You're on the fan.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
Good. I think there's four key things that are different from all the years. You got Coach Rogers running the offense. You have, I think our backfield is a lot better than it used to be. Najee Harris, Warren, I think Gainwell and Warren are better than those two.
I'll agree with that part. That's a big upgrade. They're the only two backs on the same team this year to have over 1,000 scrimmage yards.
You can't possibly believe the first one you said, though.
Coach Rogers.
You can't possibly believe that.
You don't believe the checks at the line and
what did
and,
they do for
know,
them in Cleveland?
Well, hold on. It's not only that.
Well, wait a second. You want to say Cleveland? Who was wide receiver one in Cleveland?
Okay, the same guy who was wide receiver one basically against the Ravens.
Fine.
Okay, who was wide receiver two in Cleveland?
Okay, that's fine. Like you're going to cite the Cleveland game. My point is, you're saying hold on. Let me talk for a second. Then I'm going to let you rebuttal me.
Go ahead.
You said this is different. When this playoff drought started, they had Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback pre-elbow injury. They lost at home to Blake Bortles and gave up 45 points. You think Aaron Rodgers right now is better than Ben back then?
Who is the supporting cast for Ben?
Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown!
Okay. What about the offensive line? The offensive line is significantly better than it was when they had Ben at the end of the year. Yes or no?
So wait a minute. You're trying to make an argument that Rodgers now is better than Ben back then. Am I hearing this right?
I had four key things.
We can get to them. But we need to finish this debate first. You think Rodgers now is better than Ben back then?
He has them believe it.
I lied. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm sorry. Let's go to Bryant McFadden, who joins us, a two-time Super Bowl champion who won rings with Ben. Do you agree with that, B-Mac?
What? I heard a lot of hollering going on, so clearly some y'all fired up.
Pony is in extreme. Like, B-Mac, did you ever see two of your buddies arguing in some form or fashion? And they're yelling at each other, and you're just kind of sitting back.
We just had a caller describe why this Steelers team is different from the last six that have lost playoff games. And he said it's different because they now have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And I pointed out to him, well, when they lost games at the beginning of this run, they had somebody named Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback who was still in his 30s and hadn't blown his arm out yet. And I said, so you think Rodgers now is better than Ben back then? And he wouldn't answer the question. He thinks that these two guys are close, and I think that that's ridiculous.
Which Ben are we
pre-elbow
injury,
referring to? 2017.
Killer Bees, Ben.
Yeah, he also said, well, who? He also goes, who was Ben's supporting cast? Yeah, like he didn't have anybody.
Killer Bees, Ben.
Nah, that Killer Bees, Ben, was different.
Thank you.
He was different, man.
And they still threw for
5,000 yards. One of those seasons.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they still lost to Jacksonville at home, which is why I'm worried about Monday night. But that's okay. How are you feeling about Monday night's game? You got a good vibe about it. You're a defensive guy, and here comes the number one defense in the NFL, B-Mac.
Yeah, they are. They're a hellified defense. They're really, really good, yo. I am not gonna lie. I really love watching the Houston Texans defense, because they play defense how we used to play. They fly around and they put that Rydell on you. They try to impose their will. It's like when you watch them play, you feel their hits. It's very, very impressive. But I'm not worried about this matchup because I'm not worried about their offense.
Man.
Let's keep it real now. And y'all talked about this Big Ben and Aaron comparison, right? But let's compare C.J. Stroud and Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Right? And you just their body of work in 2025, who do you trust more?
I mean, Stroud, I think, has still been pretty good. I think it's about a push, honestly.
And I disagree, because because Aaron has been better than C.J. Stroud. And actually, there was a quick, minute argument when Davis Mills stepped into their offense. He was playing better than C.J. Stroud was before C.J. Stroud's injury.
Tomlin brought that up.
Yes. I've been watching Houston the entire season. This last 2 or 3 weeks of C.J. Stroud has really, really been good. But before that injury, he was struggling. And I'll say this much. The defense has carried their offense more than anything. So when you look at the past postseason games for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the teams they've played against, they had high-level quarterbacks. When you talk about Lamar Jackson, last year? When you talk about Josh Allen the year before that?
Right.
Those teams had high-level quarterbacks that could win and take over ball games and lead. This 2025 C.J. Stroud is nowhere close to being to those quarterbacks.
Well, he's better than Blake Bortles, though, and Bortles came in here and put 45 on him, B-Mac.
That was 25 years ago.
Well, it's part of this playoff win drought.
I mean, I'm just saying that was 25 years ago, right? That was 25 years ago. All I'm saying is
Aaron Rodgers' last success in the playoffs is even longer than that, B-Mac. You got to go to 2010.
All I'm saying is when you look at all the teams, if you had to pick.
Uh-oh, you're cutting out here. If you had to pick what? You still
offense.
There?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yep, got you.
Yeah. Yeah, all I'm saying is this. If you had to pick a matchup in the AFC playoffs amongst all the AFC teams.
Yes.
To come to Pittsburgh. Give me Houston.
Over the Chargers?
Yes.
Wow. I thought you were a defensive guy. I thought
defense
won championships. Well, here comes the best one.
But Justin Herbert can do things. That offense can be more
Not if
difficult.
His offensive line is made out of paper mache, and that's what it looks like.
But look at the Houston Texans offensive line.
Stroud's been sacked one time the last four games.
I understand that. Every now and then a dog gets a bone.
That's a month of bones.
How are the Steelers going to keep Aaron Rodgers upright? Because that's 27 sacks coming off the edge coming at him.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been phenomenal getting the football out of his hands.
Yep.
And I love his experience. So it's not just about the offensive line keeping him upright. It's his ability to get the football out of his hands.
Will their corners just press our guys? Will Lassiter and Stingley give those guys space at the line to make quick catches, you think?
I think they're going to press a lot. I mean, they press a lot the entire season. That's the best duo of cornerbacks in the National Football League.
And then they got
Alshon. Picking against the best duo of corners.
They also got Alshire in the middle, and he like beats people with wrenches. He hits them so hard.
You're going against everything you've believed in for 30 years watching football.
I'm not going against it. I'm just saying those guys play football, but are they undefeated?
No, they won 9 in a row, though.
Okay, but are they undefeated?
No.
They've been beaten, right?
Well, the Rams did win their division. You're going to tell me you're picking them to beat the Panthers on Saturday because Carolina did?
I'm picking the Rams, no question. Hold on. That's not the same
thing. Carolina beat them earlier this year by two scores.
Also true. Not by two scores.
We just saw Riley Leonard have a career day against that same defense.
He did look good in the first half. I brought that up to Chris. That is 100% accurate.
Yeah, we saw Alec Pierce just have a career day before getting ejected against that same defense.
I agree with you. You're right.
So they have been vulnerable.
We also saw the Steelers offense score 6 points 2 weeks ago if we want to play that game.
I've also seen this defense beat Patrick Mahomes into submission in his own building.
Also true.
Anybody beat Pat Mahomes this year?
Well, they sacked Josh Allen about 11 times.
Now we're slandering Patrick Mahomes here?
No, we ain't slandering Pat Mahomes.
And you said everybody beat him up this year.
He's not wrong.
Like a pinata.
Chris, he's not wrong, though.
Third in the division.
He's not wrong
about
that.
They finished third in the division. What am I wrong about?
No,
everybody took advantage of Pat Mahomes this year.
You're not wrong about that.
And one thing I say about the Pittsburgh Steelers, guys, and you guys know this as well, and if I'm lying, please say B-Mac stop.
Okay.
Say, B-Mac, shut up. If I tell a lie with this statement I'm about to make,
right.
One thing I know about the Pittsburgh Steelers, in 2025, unfortunately, they play up or down to their opponent.
You could say that about them for the last 20 years, I would say.
No, we're talking about 20, I know. But you keep like going back in the past. We're talking about right now.
Okay.
They play up or down to their opponent. In playoff football, you only can play up because you're playing against great teams.
That's kind of true. I mean, they played five playoff teams this year and lost to four of them. They beat the Patriots. There's the win. They lost to the Bears. They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Bills. And two of those games against the Chargers and Bills, they did not look good at all. So, I guess. I mean, if 1-4 versus
Seahawks,
playoff
they lost
teams,
to the Seahawks too.
1-5
badly.
Yeah, but not badly. I mean, Caleb Johnson made the mistake of the century in that game.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
So here's the bottom line for me, B-Mac. I give the Steelers a chance to win this game. But I'm not picking them to win because they're going against the number one defense in the NFL.
I'm not afraid of that defense. And you shouldn't be either.
And Chris Steelers across from me said, this team reminds me of the 08 Steelers with that defense. How about that blasphemy?
No. We were different.
Because you guys were actually allowed to hit people. If this defense had been transported back in time, they'd have been taking people's heads off too.
This defense is outstanding, but our defense is a little different, man. We did things different in a different way, and we also were top two in AFC. We finished, we won our division,
yes,
we were different, right? And we held 13 straight opponents under 300 yards.
That's impressive. Yeah, this Texans team just let Ashton Gentry go for big yards against them a couple of years ago.
But you guys did get rocked by the Titans in week 16 that year.
Yeah, but then Chris Johnson and Lendale White.
We needed that. We needed to get humbled a little bit. That's what we needed.
Maybe Riley Leonard humbled the Texans in that first half.
All right, B-Mac, who you picking and who's going to be the MVP of this game?
Man, I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers. Y'all got me fired up already. Talking about our number one defense. Nobody ain't scared. We're not scared of them folks.
I thought we might get you so fired up you'd accidentally swear in this interview. I think we're getting under your skin.
I ain't gonna swear. I might say freak, but I ain't gonna swear. I ain't gonna say F-U-C-K. All right? I'm a PBS special. I bleep out my cuss words. All right? Hey, but check this out. Last stat I'm gonna give you before I give you who I'm picking, even though you guys know who I'm picking. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they haven't lost their home Monday night game since 1991.
That is correct. The technicality is there. They lost a Monday afternoon game to Washington during COVID. But yeah, let's say they haven't lost a Monday night game since 91.
Yeah, so ain't no technicality. That's a trend that you got to follow. You can't turn your back on that type of trend. And that's like what I said last week going into the Baltimore Ravens game about their numbers against the Ravens. And when Mike Tomlin has been the underdog against the Ravens, he's 7-1.
Yeah.
He was 7-1. I follow trends in football. I follow trends in
sports. Trend is this coach has lost six straight playoff games. Does that trend not count?
That trend will end because of the Monday night trend. the Monday night trend trumps
trend
that trend.
Versus trend.
That's what we're doing. We winning this, baby, and we're going to be fired up. I want everybody to lose their voice come Monday. Matter of fact, where's the mayor? Is the mayor listening? I think Monday should be a indirect holiday where no one has to go to school or work. They need to get ready for the game Monday. Mm. Since it's been such a long drought since we had our last playoff win,
yeah.
I think they should treat Monday, nobody go to work, you have the day off, no school. We're getting ready for this game to support our guys.
And who's the MVP?
My MVP is Aaron Rodgers. You done got me fired up by Aaron Rodgers.
I knew it.
You did. Like, he's supposed to be afraid of this defense. I'm going A-Rod.
I mean, the last time he faced D'Amico Ryan's defense in the playoffs, he scored 10 points.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I don't remember that. We didn't even have HD television back then. How long ago was that?
Tony, you know what the problem is for us in this whole thing?
What's that?
You and I think they have a chance, but we both are, it looks like, going to pick the Texans to win the football game. But if we're right, we can't take a victory lap on everybody and finger wag. We can't have B-Mac come on next week just so he could take his medicine. We can't have all these callers call back in. No one wants to hear
B-Mac,
us do that.
Speaking of playoff games, I just want to run a quick one by you. So I have no life. And the other night, I'm watching back the Steelers-Bengals playoff game when you guys started your run in 05, when you went there and beat them and Carson Palmer got hurt and Kimo Van Olhoffen took him out and was sick over it. So it's early in the game. And something's going on with TJ Houshmandzadeh, and you are right up in his face screaming at him. And the referees are separating you, and Phil Simms and Jim Nantz are talking about how you're getting into it with Houshmandzadeh. What was that all about? Do you remember?
I can't remember what it was about, but quick story about that game. So when Carson got injured and the stadium went crazy, their coaches were cursing out our players, and the intensity went up to another level.
Yep.
And I remember I started crying on the sideline.
What?
And they were like, B-Mac, what's going on? And I'm like, I wish Coach LeBeau would call Nickel because I want to get out there and get in a fight. I want to fight somebody right now. Please call. Can you hurt? Because, you know, back then, everything was kind of base formation until third down came and you come in with Nickel or dime.
Yep.
And I was a Nickel back at that time. I was third corner. I'm like, Coach, please call Nickel. I want to get out there and fight with these guys. And to your point, that's probably what led to that situation with me and TJ. I just want to get in there and get in the fight because I saw my guys out there fighting and I wanted to fight. I wanted to get bloodied up a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted some of that smoke. That's the type of atmosphere it was, and that's what we did. It was personal. Hmm.
At any point, did you think John Kitna was going to actually cook a little bit? Because he started off red hot.
No. We knew that Cincinnati, and even though they had Carson, without Carson, but even with Carson, we knew Cincinnati was Cincinnati.
And then Chris Henry got hurt on that same play, too.
Yeah.
Came out.
Yes.
The late Chris Henry.
Yes. Those are epic battles.
Did you know that, Chad?
In our mind,
and then you had to defend Kevin Walter the rest of that game.
That's correct.
Yeah, Kevin Walter could run, though. He has some burners.
But apparently Chad Ochocinco, or then Chad Johnson, was tailgating with
Bengals fans at
noon that
day. Yeah, did you know that, B-Mac? The game was later in the afternoon, and he was out in the parking lots before the game eating hot dogs and stuff.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know.
Well, now he's going to box James Harrison. Who are you going to pick in that one? I think we lost him.
You guys hear me? I'm here.
No, we lost you. What'd you say?
I say, yeah, man, those were epic battles, though, but that's probably what that sequence was about, man. I was crying on the sideline when they finally called Nickel.
No, you missed what I heard. Fight. I said, now Chad Johnson's going to box James Harrison. Who are you going to pick in that one?
That won't never happen. He's too smart to do something that dumb.
Joining us now to get into all of it with his weekly matchup segment from the Locked On Steelers podcast and a newspaper that'll be closing in May, Chris Carter. Hello, Chris. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Adam. How are we doing?
Good. I'm sorry about the last thing that I said, but I don't feel like mentioning the newspaper because I'm very mad at the owners there. So I wanted to throw that out there. And I know you'll land on your feet. You already have, because the Locked On Steelers podcast is one of the most popular Steelers news and opinion disseminating pieces of media that there is.
Well, one thing I do want to say, as we've been having meetings yesterday, we had meetings yesterday. I wouldn't say don't give up on the Post-Gazette just yet. there are many of us who are going to fight as much as we can to keep open the city's paper of record. Many of us as journalists, from the sports department to our local department, from all across, we believe there's something to fight for. And as long as we have a paper to fight for, we're going to fight for it. So if you want to join us, support us in every way you can, share our work, subscribe to us, and you know, share the good work that you enjoy there. So if you, if you're one of those people, we appreciate your support, but we're going to keep fighting here, Adam.
My man, I'm really happy to hear that. We got you on right now. We got Jason Mackey at the bottom of the hour. So many of the paper that, again, I'm not going to name, representatives, writers have joined us and lent credibility to our station over the course of the last 15 years. So we appreciate that. All right, Chris, you're on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I want to get, of course, into Texans v. Steelers, and that's what we're going to talk about for the majority of this year's segment. What would the Steelers be missing, though, if Arthur Smith took the Titans job? I think it would be a big loss, man.
If Arthur Smith left, one, he had indicated yesterday he's not leaving. He's not leaving. He can't even interview until three days after the next game, the Texans game. So, like, that's not going to happen. But if Arthur Smith left the Steelers, it won't happen until after the season's over. But it would be very interesting to see what that would be like moving forward, because I think a lot of that is going to the biggest impact of that is if Aaron Rodgers does want to come back next year, he probably wants to run the same offense. Like, he's not trying to learn a new offense for a second straight year, really a third straight year, because he'd been with the Jets the year before. And I think that's the big thing that you could run into there is if Arthur Smith goes, does Aaron Rodgers want to come back? Because it sounds like he does when you look at, you know, just the way he's been talking, the way he's being protected by this offensive line, the way this team's playing. And I think he likes this team. I think he likes this organization. The ways that he talked about Mike Tomlin, said he just, you know, he hopes to shut people up about him. He's fired up about playing here. And I think that if Arthur Smith goes, maybe he thinks about it twice because he's like, I don't know if I'm trying to learn a whole new thing over here, but maybe not. But I think if Arthur Smith goes, there's also a lot of really good OC candidates out there. I think a lot of people are pointing to Mike McDaniel. You know, I'd also be looking at Kevin Stefanski.
Heck yeah.
You know, and then but there's also younger minds out there that have that are quarterback coaches or pass game coordinators or run game coordinators. All those things need to be taken into consideration. So I think if Arthur Smith goes, the biggest thing is it'll draw Aaron Rodgers' return even more into question. It's not even a definite right now, but I think it would even further impact those chances.
Chris Carter joining us from the Locked On Steelers podcast. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Stumbled upon a stat from Matt Williamson of Steelers.com. He writes on Twitter, the Texans allowed a league-low 5 yards per attempt on passes below 10 air yards and were one of two defenses with more interceptions, 8, than touchdowns allowed on such passes. They allowed a 39.8% success rate on underneath throws, one of just 3 defenses in the last 10 seasons to hold opponents below 40%. Is this a terrible matchup for the Steelers offense?
It can be if they play into that. The Steelers have to find a way to avoid playing into their hands. And I think there is a way to counter that, because on the flip side, look at their deep passing numbers or the deep pass defense numbers. The Texans have allowed 21 receptions on passes that target players 20 yards or deeper, and 759 yards. They rank 19th and 21st in defending the deep ball in receptions and yards. They've allowed 5 touchdowns on deep targets. That ranks 17th in the NFL. And then also, they are 31st in the NFL on defending 3rd and 7 or longer. They have given up a lot of big plays. They rank 18th in explosive pass defense. This is a chance for Aaron Rodgers to see behind what they're doing when they're sending the heat. you got to find it. You got to be able to read it. You got to see it coming. And I think there's something to what Mike Tomlin said. He said, this defense does not try to split the atom. And what he means by that is they know they're good. They know they're talented. They're going to be straight up like, we're blitzing and you can't stop us, or we're running this and you can't stop us. And if Aaron Rodgers can see through that and find the weak spots structurally in those defenses and hit those weak spots, and I think Pat Freiermuth, you know, I've been saying it for a while, he could be a big factor in the game. He could be a huge factor in this game because those outside corners are nasty in the Texans, but the nickel corner, some of the safeties, linebackers, I think there's some weak spots to be hit there. And if they can hit on some deep balls in this game, that's the kind of stuff that can soften up that underneath coverage and open up, you know, more space for Jalen Warren and for Kenneth Gainwell. Because also, the Texans, one thing they also do is they miss a lot of tackles. And so if you're able to spread them, they gang tackle a lot. When they get a lot, they fly to the ball, and so they have a lot of guys around. But if you're able to hit those deep shots, it's going to force some of those guys to back off a little bit and not be as aggressive as attacking underneath. And I think that's going to be a big key for this game. That's why it's huge they're getting DK Metcalf back. It's going to be huge that if they can hit Pat Freiermuth and Aaron Rodgers, he's got to see through it. He's got to be accurate. He's got to hit their shots. And when the Steelers get him, they got to take advantage of him, because if they do, that's the balance that can throw off this defense.
We're going tit for tat and stat for stat here, Chris, because yesterday I uncovered that the Texans are 13th worst in the NFL in giving up reception yards to running backs, which is an area where the Steelers obviously have thrived with Kenneth Gainwell in particular. Chris Carter joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. If you were D'Amico Ryans, would you have Derek Stingley follow DK Metcalf? Is that something that they typically do, or are they a left-right kind of unit? And then I'll do a two-parter here. Does JPJ chase around their number one wide receiver, Nico Collins?
I'll tell you what. I don't know if they're a team that switches. That's not something I've studied just yet in looking at the Texans. But if I'm the Texans, both Lassiter and Stingley have been nasty this year.
Nasty.
And Aaron Rodgers is much. I mean, even their safeties, like Caleb Bullitt, they have four dudes with four interceptions in that secondary. So I think they'll be willing to pass guys around and to do that. I think the thing is that when they do that, it's going to be about, hey, what does Aaron Rodgers see? Are they in zone? Are they given inside leverage in the man? Are they given outside leverage in the zone? And if they are, where can I hit these guys? Where are they trying to keep me from seeing? And I think that's what's going to be the difference in some of those matchups, is can Aaron Rodgers see through how they're setting up their coverages in those spots up? Because these guys are smart. They're aggressive. They're talented. They're smart. Derek Stingley is phenomenal. Kamari Lassiter's also been phenomenal. Like, that's the crazy part, is that Stingley, I think, you know, has been on a pace where a lot of people, because he's a high first round pick, people saying he's the best corner in the league, but Lassiter's also playing at a very high level. But to your point that you also brought up there, so is Joey Porter Jr. He has been locking people down. If I'm the Steelers, I say, yeah, take away Nico Collins. You're our ace here. This isn't, you know, 2023 anymore, or 2024, where he's figuring out, oh, maybe I can cover Mike Evans. Maybe I can cover the nah. Take away the number one guy. But the Steelers have also been confident in James Pierre, who's healthy and ready to go in this game. You know, I think it's a situation where both teams have two outside corners that they're confident in taking guys away. So I think for the sake of disguising things and making things harder on both quarterbacks, they're going to flip flop around a little bit. They're going to say, okay, which matchup do you think you want? And then which matchup do you think you want that we're actually disguising? Oh, there's going to be safety help over here. This guy's going to have some backup over there. This is going to be a game where I think Terrell Austin has to be in his bag a little bit. To one, shut down the run, which isn't that great. When you look at the Texans run game, they do rank 13th in rushing yards per game, but they rank 28th in yards per carry. So it's a volume thing. It's Najee Harris like, for those who might remember the Steelers the last few years, where they had a very high volume of carries, but not a lot of yards per carry. And I think that's partially about this offensive line. This has to be a game where the defensive line takes over. They've got to shut down the run and force CJ Stroud in uncomfortable situations, because he hasn't exactly been great when he's been forced into tight spots. And that's where I think the Steelers defense can try to create turnovers of their own.
I do feel pretty confident the Steelers will shut down the run. They've given up 73 yards on the ground on average the last four games. Apart from the one carry to Derrick Henry, they were really good against him. And part of that is just staying off the field. The offense monopolizing the football, kind of a big deal. Yeah, Woody Marks averages 3.6 yards per carry. I want to go back to what you said about attacking downfield against Houston, Chris. And Chris Carter is our guest. Do you think that the pass pro can hold up against those edge rushers enough to be able to push the ball down the field consistently?
I think so. I think these guys have proven themselves. I think Troy Faltano has played extremely well. I think Dylan Cook's played extremely well. I think you're seeing chemistry between Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, Isaac Seumalo, and all those guys. They're healthy. And that's the other thing is that they were healthy last week. They're healthy this week. I think this crew has shown it. I think also you're going to see help from Freiermuth, from Jonnu Smith, from Gainwell and Warren. All those guys have been really solid at that. And Mike Tomlin, you know, he kind of pointed it out when I asked him this week in the press conference. He said, you know, what about what happened with the Browns? And he was like, you know, everyone keeps saying that we did something special to Myles Garrett. We did the same thing we did when we beat them 23-9. And he was right, because I pointed that out myself. But my thing was, you know, hey, just preparing for this team. This isn't just Myles Garrett. This is Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. This is two deadly edge rushers. But I think the Steelers, they've gotten really good tackle play. Aaron Rodgers has been seeing them coming. I think there's a chance here. And Aaron Rodgers has been dealing with the pressure, I think, pretty well when the past few games. I think earlier this year you saw when the Bills and the Chargers really got after him, it became a problem. But I think that he has learned how to mitigate that a little bit better. And especially now that he has DK Metcalf back, I think he'll be more comfortable taking some shots and giving his players a chance to be playmakers. On the flip side, C.J. Stroud, when he's kept clean, he's very good. 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completes 71.8% of his passes. When he's under pressure, he doesn't even complete 50% of his passes. 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's very there. And also, you look at the amount of times he has not been blitzed that much this year. He's been blitzed about 34% of his dropbacks on the season. And he has only 3 touchdowns to 2 interceptions when the heat is sent his way. The Steelers have to force them in situations where they can afford to be aggressive and trust that they can get home. And so I think that's a big place where the Texans, they've won a lot of games because their pass rush can get home and disrupt what an offense can do. This has got to be a game where T.J. Watt, Nick Herbig, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Derek Harmon, those guys, Patrick Queen too, because he's a good blitzer. This is a group that this is a week. Disrupt that young quarterback, get him to panic in the cold and in a tight game.
Chris, you know I'm a big fan of yours personally and professionally. I'm happy to hear that you and others are pushing to keep the paper of record alive in this town. I can't wait to talk to you next week. Hopefully we're previewing another game, man. We always appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
You're the man. Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast.
You know what that signifies, our friend and yours, Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, joins us on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, and Ray's also on YouTube. There he is, Donnie. Take a good look.
He's looking good. Fresh haircut, Ray?
Fresh haircut, and you know it. Got to get ready for Monday night, Donnie.
Well, where are you, Ray? In your man cave there?
I wouldn't call it a man cave. It's like a converted office that was our dining room, but like every other family, who uses a dining room anymore? You know,
not
we
us.
We eat at the kitchen table.
We do.
You eat at the kitchen table. We have 3 separate meals for dinner. My wife goes to one room. I go to another. My daughter goes and watches TV.
You guys don't eat dinner together?
No. Do families anywhere eat dinner together anymore?
The Bechtold family does.
What?
Yeah, maybe that's just because we're a, you know, loving family that enjoys each other's company.
We're not. Ray, you eat dinner together?
I mean, when we can, but the kids have too many activities. They're always on the go, so it's too hard.
So limits, everybody sits down every night at the dinner table and asks how each other's day. What is this, the Brady Bunch?
It's mostly just a Sunday thing, but like if... You know.
Okay, a Sunday thing. That's once a week.
Yeah, like typically my dad and I will eat dinner together if my sisters are up at school or they're back right now, like depending on who's running around and stuff like that. But we always make sure that Sundays, that's the case.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Ray, I'm going to hit you right away. Who's going to win the game and why?
Wow, I thought that would be the last question, Joe.
It's the first one.
You know, I think the Steelers have a really good shot. I'm going to be honest with you. I just like the fact that they're at home. I like the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing really well. He hasn't turned the ball over a lot lately. I mean, his touchdown to interception ratio is really good. He's keeping them in games, and he's clutch at the end of games. So I kind of like that formula. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, though. I don't think we're going to have the fireworks that we had at the end of the Ravens game, but I'm going to go Steelers 17, Texans 13.
Ray, out of the defenses that the Steelers have seen this season, where does this Texans one rank?
Well, they got the Seahawks early in the season. And, you know, if Calvin Austin doesn't deflect that football, you know, the Steelers probably put up 24 on them at least. So the Seahawks have a really good defense. But I think this Houston defense, just the way they're structured, Donnie, like having dominant edge rushers and two dominant corners just makes them a really difficult defense to go up against. So Arthur Smith is going to have to be creative. They've kind of lived and died with Warren and Gainwell out of the backfield being their yak guys. I think if they're going to win this game, those guys got to get yak again, and it's going to be really hard because they are solid all over that defense.
Ray, now that you mentioned his name, give us the parameters of the Artie interview process here with the Titans or anyone else who might be interested. What's the date that he has to wait until, things like that?
January 14th. Any assistants involved in the Monday night game have to wait until January 14th. The others can do January 13th. And even then, Joe, it would just be a virtual interview. And then depending on if he won, let's say the Steelers won, obviously one virtual interview, and then they would have follow-ups and, you know, they would have face-to-faces, you know, in the coming days or weeks. But next week would just be a virtual interview.
What percentage, Ray, would you actually put on it, him being down to maybe one of the final three, let's say, for that Titans job?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't somebody tweet like 10 names for that Titans job? Like he was one of 10 guys who were going to interview.
That's the thing. I feel like his name gets thrown around a lot when it comes to
the Yeah, I mean, the reason I wouldn't discount it is his history in Tennessee. He knows the owners. He spent a lot of time there, kind of worked himself up from quality control to be the OC. I'm sure he has really good relationships in that building. You know, I think working with Aaron Rodgers this year probably helps him. You know, they want somebody to work with Cam Ward. But, you know, in the end, I think the Titans will probably have a chance to hire someone a little bit sexier. I think it's just a matter of do they land that guy? And if not, maybe Arthur is their guy.
What'd you think of the Harbaugh firing, Ray?
Ridiculous. If that kid makes that field goal – there's no talk of this. And I just find it so odd that somebody's livelihood and if Bashotti's franchise would come down to a missed kick. And I know there's a lot of drama there, probably more drama, honestly, than there is in Pittsburgh, like with Lamar. And you guys saw that story last week that Mike Preston wrote, right, about him falling asleep in meetings. I mean, there's some deep issues there, but John Harbaugh is a guy who's going to be able to name his team, name his price. He's a really good coach. I think the only thing he has going against him now is he's 63 years old. And I think maybe, you know, Pete Carroll's experience in Oakland – or not Oakland – Vegas might, you know, dissuade some people from hiring older coaches. But if you're in win-now mode, like if you have a quarterback or if you have a good roster, I would hire John Harbaugh 100% of the time. I think that guy is a heck of a football coach.
Maybe your guy's in New York, Joe. Your boy Jackson Dart.
That could be next. I think it might be Miami. What a take there by Ray. An unusual take.
So Ray, you saying that, it gives me a feel of how you're going to go with this next question. If Tyler Loop does make the kick, are we having any of these conversations about Mike Tomlin?
We would be because we're in sports media, but I don't think that would be like strong stuff inside the Steelers building. No, I said all along, like last couple of weeks leading up to it, if Mike wanted to leave, like if he truly did want to pursue TV for a year, which I don't know that that's really a thing, but if he did and he met with the Rooneys and that's kind of how they came upon, you know, a parting of the ways, and that's the way it would end. It wouldn't be with Tomlin getting fired. I know that.
What would it take, Ray? I mean, 10 years, a full decade of never winning a playoff game or like,
well, I mean, his contract's up in 27 and, you know, we just found out a month or two ago that there's an option for the Steelers to pick up in a couple of months here. So I think we get a pretty good idea, depending on how Monday night works out, which way they are leaning. And, you know, if he doesn't get his contract, the option picked up, then Mike would have a decision to make. People haven't talked about this enough. I think it would be really hard for Mike and for the Steelers going into a lame duck season. It would be odd for the franchise, and I think it could be stressful for both parties. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on.
Speaking of guys' futures with the Steelers, do you think in a loss or whenever this playoff run comes to an end, Ray, is this it for Aaron Rodgers? I'm starting to get the feel that he's back for a second season.
I mean, I've been at every one of his press conferences, and he just loves his teammates. He loves playing for Tomlin. He loves the experience of just grinding through an NFL season. Like, I don't know that there's many quarterbacks like that. You know, we just talked about Lamar Jackson sleeping through meetings. Like, Rodgers eats that stuff up. I mean, he is looking for every edge to help him win a football game. So I agree with you. I kind of get that sense that, and especially if Arthur Smith is back, that everything would be in place, you know, year two. What did he say last week about how well he did in year two of the offense in Green Bay when they had that coaching change? So, yeah, I think if Aaron wants to come back, I think the Steelers would be very smart to have him back, because you don't want to go in the next season counting on a rookie or really any other of the backup plans they have. They have no idea what they have in Will Howard, and I think they know what they have in Mason Rudolph. They think they have a good backup, but that's pretty much it.
It's 11:20. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We got Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette on the line here, and he's on YouTube. The number's skyrocketing on YouTube. You should check it out. Go to our website. It'll take you right there. Or go straight to YouTube. Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by the AV-rated super lawyers, LGKG. Luxembourg Garbett, is that how I say that, Ray?
That's correct.
Is your name Ray?
No, but I just wanted to make sure you had it right.
Kelly and George. Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly, and George.
My middle name is Ray, Ray.
So is mine, Ray.
Nice.
Yeah.
How about you, Donnie?
Mine is not Ray, sorry. My middle name's actually Joe. Joseph.
How about that? Between the four of us, we have two middle names. That's incredulous.
It's a family affair right here.
Well, now I forgot what I was going to ask you, Ray. Oh, no chance for Deshaun Elliott, is there?
I mean, not this week, but I heard from the very beginning that there was a chance if they made a run in the playoffs that he could come back. So, you know, we could see maybe next week, maybe the practice window opens and, you know, he could be a part of things, but certainly not for Houston on Monday night.
What has the vibe been like for this guy individually, but also others in that locker room with DK Metcalf coming back?
Yeah, they're excited. You know, people in that locker room like DK. He's a hard worker. He's a good teammate. I think everyone remembers what happened in that first Ravens game, the way he, you know, stepped in there for Skowronek when Skowronek was injured. And he's a team player. And I think everyone in that room knows he made a mistake, but they kind of wanted to pick him up. And I think they're all glad that, you know, he got the second chance. So I think he's very motivated. And I think the Steelers were very motivated to do that for him on Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens.
Have you talked to TJ yet this week? And how did he come out of that game? How's he feeling physically going into this one? Do we know?
No, I have not talked to TJ this week. He is speaking today, I believe, or maybe tomorrow because of the Monday night game. You know, Joe, but after the game, he said he felt good. I think you saw he played the majority of the snaps. I want to say 84, 86%
yeah.
of the snaps. There were only 51 snaps in that football game, but I kind of have the feeling. I think I told you guys last week, do not be surprised if it's a close game that he's out there, and he was. So I think Terrell Austin said yesterday he expects him to be even better, you know, just having – gone through one game. So Austin believes we're going to see a better version of TJ on Monday night. And obviously the Steelers are going to need it because CJ Stroud, even though he's been inconsistent, he's a guy who can step up and make some big plays if you let him.
How much do we see of the three edge rushers on the field at the same time, Ray? Got a couple of snaps of that Sunday night against the Ravens. And Nick Herbig only played a handful of snaps, but he had two of the most impactful plays all night.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be a little bit more creative because the Texans don't have the heavy run game that the Ravens had. So you might see a little bit less of Malik Harrison in this football game, and I think you could see some other packages. And, you know, Herbig, the nice thing about him, line him up on the edge. You could have him roam around, kind of hang out in the middle and rush from the middle. They like his matchup on guards because of his quickness. So, yeah, I'm with you. Anything you got to do to get pressure on C.J. Stroud and prevent him from making big plays down the field to guys like Nico Collins, you should do everything in your power to avoid that.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of playoff free association?
You may.
Ray, you ready?
I am ready.
Let's make this a little prediction segment, if you'd be so kind. Who's going to win Rams at Carolina to kick off the NFL weekend?
Rams.
How about Green Bay, Chicago?
I'm going to go Chicago just because Green Bay's too hurt.
Are the Rams going to blow out Carolina?
I don't know if they'll blow them out, but I think it'll be a comfortable win.
Buffalo at Jacksonville. Bills favored by 1.5. I don't know how, but they are.
Yeah, best game of the weekend. I'm going Buffalo, but only because of Josh Allen, no other reason.
That's a tough one for me. San Fran at Philly. Eagles favored by 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go Philly. I know the 49ers have been really good this year, but Philly's at home, and they're the Super Bowl champs. I don't see them losing at home on wild card weekend.
Patriots -3.5 at home against the Chargers. I think the Chargers are a great bet to cover that one anyway. Who do you have to win it?
Yeah, this is my one upset. I think the Chargers go into Foxborough and get it done. Even though they're from Southern California, they play – like an outdoor northern type of game. That's kind of their identity. So I think they're going to get that done. I think the Patriots are a little bit banged up. They've lost some players here late in the season. So that's my upset special.
And now the big one, big boy. Houston at Pittsburgh with the Texans, at least the odds I'm looking at right now, favored by 3.
Take the under. And like I said at the top, Joe, 17-13, Steelers win.
Joe, are you aware that if those games go the way that Ray says, correct me if I'm wrong, Limits, the Steelers would host a game on divisional weekend?
Correct. Yes, they would. The matchups would be Buffalo. Would it be Buffalo at Pittsburgh?
Buffalo at Pittsburgh, Chargers at the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're aware, Ray, that you are one step toward predicting the Steelers to host the AFC title game as well against Justin Herbert and company, right?
Hey, repeat of 1994. Who wouldn't want that?
Oh, all of Pittsburgh, Ray. 13.5 point favorite in that game. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Tua Guyer had to be carried off the field.
Before Alfred Papunu and Dennis Gibson happened.
If we would have done a ranking of overall worst Steelers playoff games in Pittsburgh, that has to be number one, right? They were two touchdown favorites.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to immediately say yes, but that's right up there. Yeah. I'm the most crushing. I remember Dan Rooney saying to him, one of his, if not his most crushing moment in football was going to the Super Bowl the next week and seeing the Chargers logo in the end zone instead of the Steelers when he knew it should have been the Steelers.
Remember Papunu? He had like, he kind of like popped his coconut top or whatever. That was his celebration after he.
Yeah. After the Steelers put out a video that week, their Super Bowl video. Remember that?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. You're an enormously kind man in addition to everything else.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game Monday night.
Thanks, Ray.
There he goes, Donnie. Yeah, man, now you got me thinking about their playoff history. That was...
Was Natron Means Business in a Chargers uniform in that game?
That's a great question that I think Lennox should look up.
He was a big hoss.
Since he's the beat writer. I'll tell you, man. Losing, even though the Immaculate Reception happened, losing a game to the unbeaten Dolphins was a crushing loss. Steeler playoff loss. Raiders in the AFC title game in 76, 24-7. You go there, you don't have your starting backfield. That one, I think, while it hurt, you sort of expected it. Trying to go through some other crushing ones.
Natron Means did start in that game for the Chargers, by the way. 20 for 69 on the ground.
Wow. 24-23 at Denver in 1989 was rather hurtful, Donnie, I might add.
If we're going road games, you have the Tebow game to throw in there, too.
That is the worst in my lifetime.
Tebow game. The Tebow game.
Joe, that's the first time I ever cried about a sporting event.
Really?
Tebow game. Yeah.
A guy who could barely throw the forward pass through for 316.
Young 9-year-old Limits thought that the world was ending when Tim Tebow traded his team.
Tebow 316 said, I just learned how to throw.
Oh.
And did he ever on an aging Steelers defense that day?
I mean, the year before wasn't exactly a heartwarming game. You lose in Kansas City in overtime, 27-24 in the wild card game. The Cowboys Super Bowl, that has to be maybe it, doesn't it? Even over the Chargers? What about the Packers Super Bowl? Or are we counting non-Super Bowl playoff games?
I mean, it's up to you. I feel like games...
I feel like Super Bowls may be a different category.
Yeah,
they are a different category.
Because, yeah. I mean, you just have the...
Strike that from the record.
The all-time caveat that it's the biggest game. I mean, I feel like...
That Chargers game takes the cake. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even around yet for it, but to be a 13.5-point favorite going in... Like, could you imagine the optimism we would have on this show if the Steelers had a game on Sunday where they were 13.5-point favorites? Like,
right.
it makes
yeah.
me wonder 30-plus years ago if there was a feeling of dread, like, well, you know the Steelers, they're going to blow this one.
You know he was in the building.
One thing I will say is I thought the crowd was a bit iffy.
Jerome Bettis taking a shot at Steelers Nation, saying the crowd Sunday night was iffy. I couldn't disagree more. Now, full disclosure, I was not there, but everyone I know and love pretty much was there, and they said it was rocking like the old days. And it popped that way on the television. It sounded like it was rocking like the old days. There were Ravens fans who are bloggers who were videotaping themselves at the game enjoying Renegade, and I saw this particular one say that he went to a bunch of different road venues this year and said that no place rocked more than Acrisure did while Renegade was playing. Now, maybe Bettis is getting into the fact that early on there were some uneasy moments and the Steelers are maybe another 3-and-out and the Ravens score away from totally losing the crowd, but isn't that fair? Like, it was a winner-take-all for the AFC North game, and you come out slow. If you'd come out real slow, don't you reserve the right to boo? Don't you reserve the right to be pissed off? I think you do. A texter brings up, and it's kind of on the topic here, I think people aren't bringing up enough Houston's road record this year. They're 7-2 at home and 5-3 on the road. The reason I haven't brought it up, even though it's factually accurate, is because they've won their last four road games at Los Angeles. It's not a tough place to play necessarily because there's a lot of Texans fans there, but you're going to the West Coast. At Kansas City, they won. Not an easy place to play, and that's when Kansas City was still playing for something. At Indianapolis, which as a dome when they were good, one of the toughest places in the sport to play. They also beat Baltimore 44-10 on the road this year. I'd rather have the game in Pittsburgh, and I do think it gives you an advantage, and it can help Rodgers hopefully neutralize the pass rush a little bit with a hard count.
We saw the difference that that made first time they played Cleveland and the second time they played Cleveland. Scored 23 points the first game, only 6 the second game. And I think playing on the road affected that. But I don't think it's the be-all, end-all.
The Steelers have a really good shot. I just like the fact that they're at home. I like the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing really well. He hasn't turned the ball over a lot lately. I mean, his touchdown to interception ratio is really good. He's keeping them in games. He's clutch at the end of games. So I kind of like that formula. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, though. I'm going to go Steelers 17, Texans 13.
I love the Steelers on Monday night. Absolutely love the Steelers on Monday night. Like, Houston can't score. Houston's offense is not good. And I think Pittsburgh's got a great chance to win. The Steelers are actually my favorite bet of wild card weekend on Monday night.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Okay, let's do this. Football Friday. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie is here pulling Ernie Banks. Intern Jack to help him out in you at 412-928-9370. We get a bonus day to preview this game and then our pregame coverage and wall-to-wall stuff on Monday as we'll get you ready for kickoff. I feel like fans have amnesia and media alike. I called it a Tomlin lobotomy on Twitter. What's going on here? You had it right yesterday and Donnie had it right at the start of the show with Joe. It is one thing to come on the air and say, this game feels different. I think the Steelers are going to play it close. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to hang around. That I can get down with. These bold proclamations that the Steelers are going to win, and then even crazier, what you just heard there from betting expert Nick Costos, I heard that driving in, loves the Steelers? Do I need to remind people of the hellacious Steelers playoff numbers during this 6-game playoff win drought, an 8-year drought? They have trailed in every single one of those games by at least 21 points. That's like mind-blowing to me. That's like college football stuff. That's James Madison versus Oregon or something like that. Every game, this is the playoffs where, in theory, the best are playing the best, and you get down at least 3 scores, sometimes worse, in every single one of these games. The Steelers' defense has allowed, on average, over 38 points in these playoff games. So, unless it's a situation like we had with Kevin Stefanski, is Tomlin going to get sick and miss the game and have to watch it from his gigantic man cave? How have all these Steelers fans who have called into our show, Chris, for not just since September, but for years, say things like, I'm done with Mike. I don't trust Mike. Mike can't get it done. Mike's not cut out to win anymore. We need to move on. But then here we are, the Friday before a playoff game, and according to a Crowley poll, which, again, maybe you take that with a grain of salt, 70% of fans think they're going to win. Have they forgotten who coaches the team? And I heard Starkey, and then I'm going to let you go on for as long as you want. I heard Starkey say today, you know, in great Joe fashion, the Texans offense, they stink. You know, I love when he does that. He just, I don't know why. When he says things like they blow ass or they stink, I have to admit.
I don't think he's ever said they blow ass. I think that is decidedly an Andrew Filippone term.
Okay. Well, they blow or they stink.
They stink, Malzi.
He does, and it just cracks me up. It's his unique, quirky
it's a very
personality.
It's a singular delivery, yes.
Steelers are 15th in scoring offense. They're 25th in total offense. So points and yards, 15th and 25th. You know what the Texans are?
13th and 18th.
If the Texans' offense stinks, what is the Steelers' offense? Joe said, and I love Joe again, but I heard it, so I'm going to react to it because I thought it was interesting. He said they have a red-hot quarterback. I watched this supposed red-hot quarterback in Cleveland. I get it. No DK Metcalf. He said red-hot. They scored 6 points. It's not red-hot. I mean, there's a reason why he's not red-hot right now. It's a good reason. But he's not literally red-hot. He played his worst game in a Steelers uniform just a couple of weeks ago. So I agree with what you said at 2 o'clock yesterday. I think we can see a close game. The line reflects that. But I am stunned by the amount of fans and media, 412-928-9370, to get your takeoff, who are like, yeah, they're going to win the game.
I know. Houston is where they do what, Michigan Troll, right? But they have astronauts training in Houston. Like, these takes are like, people are rocket...
And Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, thank you. Cape Canaveral in Florida. These takes are like rocket shipping off, like, right to the divisional round right now. That's how I feel. Like,
what happened to defense wins championships?
For weeks, people said,
the Texans are the team nobody wants to play. But now that they're playing the Steelers, it's, oh, this is a very vulnerable team.
I don't think you believe this, and so you bringing this up doesn't make me think that you like are a turncoat here or trying to have it both ways. You like casually mentioned, hey, the Texans defense didn't look great against Indy, and it was kind of
It didn't. I watched the game.
It was a weird game. Sure, I watched it too. They didn't look great. And then it was kind of like just a disorganized thing. But before that, they were basically choke-holding most teams. They didn't look great against the Raiders, who stink. They held the Chargers to 16. They held Arizona to 20. And we know Arizona throws the ball about 800 times a game. They held Kansas City to 10. They held Indy to 16. They lost to Denver in a game played in the teens. You got to go a ways back to see somebody who kind of really...
They bludgeoned Buffalo. My God, right. They murder Josh Allen in that
game.
Sure,
and they did that with, by the way, Davis Mills is their quarterback. Yeah. Davis Mills beat Josh Allen. My point is this. It's one thing, as I said yesterday, to believe that they could win this game because I think the style of game that the Texans want to play and are comfortable playing matches up with what the Steelers want to play.
It's another thing altogether,
too, to say C.J. Stroud's solid, but he's not Josh Allen. He's not Mahomes. He's not Jackson. He's not Burrow. He's not even Herbert behind like a makeshift offensive line. He doesn't have that reputation. But he's still a solid player at the position. He doesn't turn the ball over a ton.
Nope.
He's better than anybody else in terms of like they are better in turnover rate. I think people are getting way out over their skis.
70% of fans.
I know, 7 out of 10 people. That not only are they going to keep it close, but that they're going to win because they have Aaron Rodgers. They're getting Metcalf back. This game is at home. And that place, by the way, for that Ravens de facto playoff game was as lit up as people said they've remembered it being in years.
Right.
I talked to multiple people, so the atmosphere was great. All of those things are nice. The Texans are still in here as the lower-seeded team, as a wild card.
That won more games.
That is also a 3.5-point road favorite, when usually, the road team, or I should say in this case, the home team, gets a 3-point bump, Pony.
Yeah.
Like, the friends in the desert here, I think, feel like the Texans are almost a touchdown better in reality in this
game. It's just, what happened to, I don't trust Tomlin, they're never going to win anything until he's gone.
Oh, I can tell you
and
that.
And now the majority of fans are like, we got this one. We're going to knock out Houston, bring on the Broncos, and who knows, that quarterback's overrated. By the time I get to Friday of next week, I'll pick the Steelers to go to the AFC Championship game. I thought we needed to get rid of this coach. Now you're picking him to beat the number one defense in the NFL. How'd the game go the last time they played Houston, by the way? You want to rip Stroud? I mean, the guy's been uneven for 2 years, no doubt. The last time I saw him against the Steelers defense, he threw for over 300 yards, had 2 touchdowns.
I just don't... I don't want to suggest...
He's won a playoff game the last 2 years.
I don't want to suggest that our listeners don't watch a ton of football. I think
they do. Of course they do. They're very smart.
I think that's why they...
That's why I don't understand this 180 that's going on right now.
If they've watched the Texans, who have played a handful of games in national windows where you don't have to like go hunting to find it or have direct or have like a Sunday ticket pony, their defense flattens people more often than not. It just beat up the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, physically just beat them into submission, right? Rashi Rice probably still hit, you know, he's going to have children who feel the hit Petrie put on him in that game. And, like, I think what I am getting confused by is, or maybe what I would explain away as the reason why people are feeling this way, is that because everyone finally looks at the Texans and says, this doesn't look like a destroyer of worlds kind of opponent. This doesn't look like...
Their defense does.
I know, but people don't think about that. They think of the quarterback more than anything else. Because it's not the Steelers going in against either Jackson Allen or Mahomes, right?
Yes.
They feel like there is just a basic level chance, and then they are extending that. Because I feel that way too, by the way. I actually feel like if the right chips fell, the Steelers were to pull off an upset that I think, you know, 45% of me thinks they can
Tomlin's
do.
Tomlin's defense gave up 45 to Blake Bortles. He's not Allen Jackson or Mahomes.
I'm aware.
That happened.
Allen Jackson or Mahomes sounds like a law firm or a country artist. But
they've been outscored 73 to nothing in the first quarter of these games.
Tony, I know. I just think that people have gamed out a situation where they have a chance to play two quarterbacks who are definitely not among the conference's medal stand elites.
Agreed.
One of those games will be at home.
Yes.
If it happens to be two.
Yep.
And they have like this weird sort of path of least resistance where, hey, all Mike has to do is get his team to win a game where they're rolling around in the mud for 60 minutes, metaphorically. And while people in this town do not trust Mike as far as they can throw him, I do think the one thing even his critics will agree he is good at is turning a game into a slop fest and finding a way to win it. Pony, that even matches with like national consensus on him from like more smart people.
He should have turned that Jets game into that, and they gave up 45 before you got up to get a beer against the Browns. They were down 28 to nothing. And they're going to win this game?
I think they're going to win, but I think they have a real chance. But I think there's a large gulf. There's a river-sized gap between I think they can win this game and don't go in drawing dead, and I think they will win this game.
Close game and picking this team and this coach to win a playoff game are two very different things. 412-928-9370.